This is Alan Karpik with Tom Deanhart, and with a new feature on Golden Black Radio Express, and it's called Golden Black Memories. And Tom and I will take a trip down memory lane to two or three different topics for each podcast, and we'll be doing that periodically as often as we can here in the coming weeks and months. And I want to thank our sponsors, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, East End Grill, First Source Bank, 6th Street Dive, and Charters Team Real Estate, and RE/MAX Plus. Thank you for their sponsorship. And Tom, we're going to have some fun doing this, I think, and try to keep this, you know, at a, you know, maybe a 15-minute podcast in that neighborhood for fans that may want to look back to kind of a deeper look at some of the history behind Purdue sports. And today, obviously, basketball is first and foremost. Everybody talking about where the Purdue men's team is right now, and in the lead in the Big Ten, and in very good shape with an interesting schedule left. And one of that, the first team on that schedule is Nebraska, and the Boilermakers take on the Cornhuskers 8:30 on Saturday night. And some interesting memories that you and I both have going back to the only time that Nebraska played in Mackey Arena, and that before the Cornhuskers became a member of the Big Ten. And of course that was in 1979, a team that 1979-80 team that went to the Final Four. Purdue ranked number 9 in the country under second year coach Lee Rose, and talked about Jack Moore and their point guard, some funny stories about that. But and I know you were a little younger than I am, but did you end up going to that game? Do you remember from that standpoint?
Yeah, I do. I think if I look at my basement, I bet I still have the game program. I was in ninth grade, and I used to get a program about every game I went to. Of course, my parents had season tickets. I remember, you probably remember too, not to get off on a tangent, but Keith Butts,
yeah,
would have those. He had some funny illustrations on a lot of the various program covers where
Keith just passed away, not to interrupt. I mean, recently. Yeah, and he was certainly, he did a lot of caricatures, like you said, of Purdue athletes and figures, certainly in the 70s, 80s, even up to the end of the early 90s, I think.
Yeah, he had a picture like of Purdue Pete Smash and like a Cornhusker guy on the cover. Always kind of fun little illustrations. I'm sure many listeners that go back with us remember the work that the Butts did, but anyway, yeah, I was at that game, and of course, Nebraska basketball doesn't have an illustrious history. That day, Purdue won in very, very handy fashion with a 78-56, it says in the media guide. So, yeah, you know, we talked a little bit before this, Alan, about your memories of a former Indiana high school basketball all-star named Jack Moore, who played on that Nebraska team, and the stories that you have of maybe how Purdue shied away from recruiting him, I thought were very interesting.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the year before, and I'm talking back in the Lee Rose era, and I was a freshman and sophomore basketball manager for Coach Lee Rose at the time. The year before, Purdue goes out to Nebraska and actually, in a mild upset, kind of in a big blizzard, they early December snowstorm, they beat Nebraska on the road, hold them to a, I think, 58-47 or 47 points, and that was somewhat surprising. But when they came back, Lee Rose was interesting, very very much the tactician, but also very, at times, always kind of paranoid and took a lot of, was always sensitive to recruiting. And Jack Moore, who had just won, was it Muncie Central, won the state championship in 1978. And he had become a regular in the Cornhuskers lineup. And he's only a 5'10" guy. And
yeah,
Lee Rose, 5'9", was he listed as?
Yeah, 5'9", for the listener.
And the whole notion that Rose was very sensitive to the fact that there were some Purdue fans or people that were wondered why Purdue didn't recruit Jack Moore. And he wanted us as basketball managers to count the number of dribbles. That's what I remember, and that he dribbled. And I remember running to the locker room at halftime and reporting that Jack Moore had X number of dribbles. They wanted to limit him dribbling the basketball, and he wanted, Rose wanted Jack Moore not to do anything. And as I recall, he didn't do a lot in that game against Purdue. But I do remember that kind of gave you an insight into what Lee Rose was like as a coach. And then Jack Moore, of course, You may know about the tragic story because his life ended 5 or 6 years later in a plane crash. I think going back to from Muncie Central to go back to watch Muncie Central play in a tournament game. I don't know where he was living at the time, but Moore ended up being a Naismith Award winner for the top player under 6 foot. You know, Billy Keller from Purdue, I think, was the first winner of that award. And those are my memories from that. Anything else that you recall from it that I may have missed from that run?
Yeah, I'm really tricky in the last game. 5-for-9 point guard Allen, and it was 1984 when Moore perished in a private plane crash. And you're right, he was returning back to Nebraska where he was working in finance. He was returning back from watching a high school sectional game back in Muncie. So I think he was only 24 years old, I want to say, maybe when he passed away. But again, Pat had a great career in Nebraska. He actually named the Most Valuable Player Award for Nebraska basketball after him. So again, terrific free throw shooter. If you go back and do some research on him, over 90%. And he was a draft pick. Back in that day, you remember the NBA had about 10 or 12 rounds, and he was drafted as the 9th round by the Kansas City Kings. So I guess a lot of ways a stereotypical classic Indiana schoolboy high school player. Like I said, played on that Indiana All-Star team that goes against Kentucky, was actually the MVP that series for the Hoosier team. So again, I'd like your opinion on this, but just from what you read about the guy, I mean, I got to think he could have carved out a niche playing for Purdue.
Well, the interesting thing is that Lee Rose, and the great story is that when he came to Purdue, his two guards were Jerry Seasting and Brian Walker, and he kind of looked at them. Neither of you are 6'5". I'm not sure you fit it. He wanted big guards, Lee did. And in fact, he recruited a guy named Keith Edmondson, who ended up being leading the Big Ten in scoring. And ironically or coincidentally, he scored 27 points. It's kind of his coming out game in that game against Nebraska that we're talking about. Jack Moore was held to only 7 points and only 3 free throws. Still don't know how many dribbles he had. But it was amazing that that was why Rose was so sensitive, because Moore was a guy that obviously did very well at Nebraska, but he didn't fit that prototype of what he looked at. Now, Brian Walker and Jerry Seasting, obviously the year before, ended up being very good players, and Brian Walker served Lee Rose very, very well. But that wasn't the kind of guard he liked. Keith Edmondson was more of that size, and it was interesting how he handled it. But, yeah, there's no doubt a guy like Jack Moore could have played at Purdue. And sometimes in the state of Indiana, there's a lot of talent, and you don't get them all.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, I think, in terms of that perspective. All right, let's move on to another topic we wanted to hit on. Who do they remind you of players? and I know we've kind of gone through, and this is kind of completely subjective. I get that. And I'll start with a couple guys in this year's team, or at least one guy, Nodrell Eastern. And it's extremely unfair to peg guys for former players, but guys that you do kind of stereotype them again. You know, is Nodrell Eastern kind of like Herb Dove? And Herb Dove played for Purdue in the mid-90s with Glenn Robinson, was a part of the three-peat teams, was a senior in 1996, a very good defensive player from Perry Meridian. Struggled shooting the basketball. He was right-handed. Could absolutely jump out of the gym. No question about that. But so there's some comparisons there. Nodrell Eastern has been able to shoot free throws. I don't remember how good a free throw shooter Herb Dove was. But there's some similarity with those guys.
Yeah.
Nodrell Eastern was much higher-ranked high school player than Herb Dove was. Herb, out of Perry Meridian, came in that recruiting class with Justin Jennings. And the like, but talk about a couple guys that you old time players. I know Travion Williams. You have a good. I think is a guy that's a good match for who Travion reminds you of.
Good one there with the Dove Eastern comparable, Alan. I'll give you my quick Nodrell Eastern one. How about Mike Robinson?
Yeah.
I know Mike Robinson was a forward, but he was still about 6'6".
Yeah.
And McDonald's All-American out of Peoria, which was high school. Big time recruit. And he never developed his shot. But he became a very productive player, obviously, working the rebound game and getting putbacks and being active in the paint. Because a lot of the things offensively, Easton doesn't have some limitations that Easton has offensively. Now, Travion Williams, we talked a little bit a few days ago. I guess I harken back to Melvin McCants. Man, maybe Williams can be a lot better than Melvin McCants. But if the fans remember, McCants did have a cup of coffee in the NBA, I think, with the Lakers.
Right.
Was part of those great Three Amigos teams in the mid-'80s from Mount Carmel High School in Chicago, a famous high school for its athletics. And McCants he had soft hands like Williams, was good around the basket. Like I said, had a little bit of touch. Wasn't always maybe playing with the most passion in the world, with a lot of, he didn't have a shade of swine and fire, but again, he was a skilled guy, 6'10", Williams sort of reminds me of a little bit.
Well, you know, Melvin, I think Melvin played, and you're not insinuating he played hard, but he had a kind of a happy-go-lucky demeanor, kind of always had a smile on his face type guy. But a couple of memories from Melvin that were interesting that, you know, he was certainly, that one of them had to do with Rick Majerus. And I remember in Melvin's senior year, that was the year after the Three Amigos had left the program, had graduated, but Melvin was kind of left. And I remember Rick Majerus at Ball State doing a teleconferencing saying, you know, Melvin McCants is a lotto pick, which was the term for, I think,
lotto,
which was gamble, you know, the lottery at the time. And we all laughed like crazy because he said, oh, there's no way that we'll be able to beat Purdue. Now, Purdue went to Ball State and got absolutely crushed by a very good Ball State team. And Melvin was that. But Melvin had a demeanor to him. I don't know if you remember in 1987, in the first round of the NCAA tournament at the Carrier Dome, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of the player from Northeastern, but they exchanged fisticuffs in that game in a very quick bout. So I'm drawing a blank on the guy from Northeastern, coached by Jim Calhoun, who ended up being a great coach at UConn, but he did something that made Melvin mad, and they exchanged punches, and I believe they were both kicked out of the game in a game that Doug Lee had a huge game in Purdue, won, it was like 105-95 or something like that, but so Melvin had a little edge to him, but you had to light the wick with and light the fuse, and once you got that going, very, very interesting. We'll kind of continue this, and I know you have a list of guys, other guys that they remind me of. We'll make that kind of a weekly segment. But I wanted to get to our third topic of this podcast, and that, of course, is, and I know some people on our message boards yesterday were giving me a hard time about potentially jinxing Purdue, but that being undefeated at home, and in the great history of Mackey Arena, this is what, the 51st season or 52nd season, I guess, depending on how you count it. Purdue has only gone undefeated at home twice, and right now it looks with the four remaining home games for Purdue.
Yeah.
It looks good that Purdue could do it again. But tell us about the two seasons you remember that Purdue did go undefeated.
Yeah, first down, isn't it incredible to think of all the great teams Purdue's had over, 52 years in Mackey? That home court advantage, fans are well familiar with how hostile that environment is, and Purdue's only had two unbeaten seasons at home. Maybe it's just me, but that really surprised me when I went back and did the research. But anyway, the first unbeaten season was the second of Mackey Arena, the 1968-69 season, of course, the iconic year, right? The year Purdue goes and plays for the national championship against Blue Valley Center and UCLA. And the only other time Purdue has gone unbeaten at home, you have to then fast forward all the way to 2010, 2011. Purdue went 16-0 at home. That was the year fans remember Robbie Hummel got hurt in October, and Purdue's other seniors had to carry on without him, Etuan Moore and Juwan Johnson. That team got beat by VCU in the second round of the NCAA tournament, a VCU team led by Shaka Smart, went to the Final Four. So, again, those are only two years in history of Mackey, which opened, 1967, for the Boilers and going unbeaten. And again, you have Nebraska at home this Saturday, right?
Yep.
You still have Penn State coming to town. You still have Ohio State coming to town as well.
And Illinois. And dangerous Illinois, Illinois. But Purdue will be a favorite in all those games, you got to think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one interesting thing about that 2011 season, they did go undefeated at home, but that great game against Ohio State, probably one of the best games in the history of Mackey Arena. Ohio State ranked number second, best performances, I should say. Equan Moore went for, what, 38 on Ohio State, could not miss. And you saw a glimpse of how good Equan Moore could be. And I doubted whether Equan would be a good pro. I was wrong, as I often am, because he showed that day. But there has also been some unbelievably difficult losses. You think about the team that was started the season ranked second in the country in 87-88, Troy and Todd Everett's senior year. They lose to Iowa State, and a guy named Jeff Grayer, who played on the 88 Olympic team, came in and beat Purdue 104-96, as I recall. And
then, you know, preseason NIT.
Right, preseason NIT, and it screwed up everybody's travel reservations because my parents had the trip to Madison Square Garden booked. It was different format then. If you didn't win, you know, you didn't automatically get to go, so to speak. So Purdue got denied a trip.
Yeah, that trip is a good to Goffin for that. I mean, they beat, I think, Arkansas Little Rock in the opener, like you said. Everybody thought Purdue was sick as an NYC, but you're right, that lost rain in a lot of parades.
And then one other one is, you know, that Purdue had that long winning streak at home, as you talked about, in 68-69, they go undefeated. And then they lose for the first time at home in Rick Mount's second-to-last game to Iowa. The Iowa ends up winning the Big Ten championship. Mount scored 61 points in the game when they called a technical on the Purdue on the Purdue crowd in one of the most wildest games. You know, it was before television. The game wasn't even on television, as I recall. But Mount scored 61 points, but Iowa beats Purdue 108-107. So. You know, this podcast, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about. So, but we're going to try to keep it so that all the listeners don't run off the road before you're done. We'll keep it 15 minutes or so, and we have an unlimited amount of topics that Tom and I will try to hit on from time to time. But Tom, hey, thank you for joining us, and we're going to have some fun with this, I think, throughout the time. We also want to thank our sponsors. This edition of Golden Black Radio Express, our Golden Black Memories, is brought to you by Follett Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So stay tuned. We'll try to do these as often as we can, but we'll have a lot of fun doing them. And thanks for listening. We'll do it again soon on Golden Black Radio.